You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. For myself, John Kelly, and Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking, we want to welcome you to another episode of the podcast. Mr. Jeremiah, how are you this fine, fine 90-something degree day?
I'm trying to stay cool, dude. Luckily,
man, I hear that.
My job is inside. It's not so lucky all year round, but right now I'm very thankful. Look outside, see my truck tires sticking to the blacktop. My parking spot, and I say, yeah, I'm glad I'm inside right now.
Yeah, I bet you all the people like in Arizona and California are just laughing at us right now. They're just like pansies. South Florida, they're all like, yeah, hold my beer, you know?
Yeah, you're right, dude. I had a company that sent me a like electric bike a while back. Mm-hmm. And they keep emailing me, and they're like, hey, when's this going to go in a video? When's this going to be integrated in? You know? And I was in Spain. I wasn't able to do it. And I just got an email a couple days ago, and they're like, hey, we're just checking back in, you know, because this is expensive. You know, those bikes are expensive, and they want something out of sending it to me. And I said, yeah, I'm going to put it in a camping video. I'm planning on taking it camping with me because I thought, you know, at the campground, that'd be fun to ride around, maybe take it to the lake or whatever, let Bridget take it around. Yeah. And I said, well, I plan on putting in a camp video, and right now it is like 36 degrees Celsius because this is I think it's a Chinese company. I'm pretty sure. Okay. But I figured they're using Celsius over there, so told him it's about 36 degrees Celsius, and that is way too hot for me to be camping, so let me get back to you September, October. Then maybe we'll get some relief. We'll see.
Well, and it's funny because I've got cousins in Arizona, and they all like 100-degree heat, but the humidity is like 10% or 20%.
Yeah, it's a little different.
And like here, it's like 95%.
You've been over to the house. We bought this house, you know, a year or two ago, and it's got a basement. It's the first house I've ever had with a basement my whole life. And we got the air conditioning worked on multiple times, and the basements, they just love being damp. And so I talked to the air conditioning guy, and I was like, what should I do? He said, you can set the basement on 68 in the summertime because it's so humid here and get you a dehumidifier. So I went to Lowe's and started shopping for a dehumidifier. This is when we first moved in. And, dude, they are expensive. I think it was like $300 just for this little one to suck the moisture out of the air. And my AC guy, he said, you need to switch out this thermostat, like the one that the previous owner had just didn't work. So that was the first thing before we can even get the AC working down here. And he said, you need to get this specific one. It's got like a little screen and stuff, tells you humidity inside and outside. I can empty that thing three times a day and it will just stay at 60%. I try and keep it 50 to 60% down there. It's so, I don't know if it's because I'm close to the lake or what, or maybe
that
it's just
plays a part in it, I would guess.
I'm sure it doesn't help, but it's just that Kentucky weather, but I digress.
Ah, you know, we're okay. Cause here's the thing. Our winters aren't that bad.
No, we do okay in the winter.
So we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Yeah. Actually, backpacking in the winter in Kentucky is kind of awesome, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, dude, you can't go wrong. If you get snow, it's awesome. If you don't, it still feels amazing.
Yeah, it's never that cold. Well, I mean, it can, but it's a rare occasion, you know? It's like in certain places where it gets down to like negative temperatures all the time. We just don't have that here. So wintertime's like 30s, 20s. And I don't know about you, but I sleep really well on those nights.
Yeah, that 0 degree under quilt. And another good thing is the gear that you buy doesn't have to be rated for extreme temperatures because you're not going to get into that. So you don't have to go out here and get a negative 30 degree bag, you know?
Yeah, you're not layering quilts and all that kind of stuff. You're just kind of enjoying.
I tell you, Jason,
lovely weather.
Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir, he showed me his jacket. He got this as a Christmas gift. Mrs. Backpacking said, "What can I get you?" And he said, "I've had my eye on this Arc'teryx puffy jacket. And I don't know if you've messed around with those, but they are really nice. I mean, they are pretty penny.
They're not cheap, that's for sure."
Yeah, and it stuffs into the pocket. He actually brought it. He may have brought it on our kayaking trip. No, couldn't have been, because that was the summer.
It's too hot for that, yeah.
Yeah, it must have been the last cold trip that we took. I don't remember where we went. We've taken a lot of trips together, but he said, "I'm trying out my new jacket." He showed me it stuffs into the pocket and zips up in its own pocket for self-storage, and it compresses down, and it's smaller than a football, which is saying something for a big, big puffy jacket like what he has.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Now, here's a question. You have a list for us to talk about today. You have something a topic that you've got, and I think it could relate to what we're talking about right now a little bit.
Yeah, dude. I picked out this topic for us to talk about today, and I made quite a few videos on it in the past, so people are familiar with my YouTube channel, Jeremiah Stringer Hikes.
You have a YouTube channel?
I have a YouTube channel. So
I have one, and I neglect it. So let's keep going.
Okay, we'll keep on the podcast. I picked out the topic of backpacking and hiking mistakes. I think it's always fun to talk about, and unfortunately, it seems no matter how proficient you get at backpacking, you still seem to make some of the common mistakes, or you find a new mistake you didn't even know that you could make. Like the last trip that I went on, I got to our campsite, right? And everything's awesome. You get everything set up. Night is beginning to fall. And what I always do is before it gets too dark, I'll go over to my hammock. And I like to put my headlamp around my ridgeline of my hammock. That way I know exactly where it is whenever I need it. And I loop it through itself. So I go get my headlamp, and I go to put it on. Click, nothing. Click, nothing. So I hold in the button to check the battery. Dead. It had come on the whole time that I was out there. And then by the time night came around, since it had been on all day, you know, the runtime on those, I don't know how long they are, but it's not like 12 hours. So I don't know if it came on in the truck or what. But long story short, then you're stuck with the cell phone light.
Yep.
Have you been there?
And y'all, I've been through that, dude. I've done it. I think I don't know anybody who has. I mean, I'm sure most people haven't, but I've had mine usually in my fanny pack on the front of my pack.
Yeah.
And something happened. I think I set my camera in there, and I must have hit the button. And it was daytime, so I didn't notice that the light was on. And so I was setting things up for camp and grabbed my headlamp, put it around my neck, and left my phone in the tent.
Yeah, I do that. I hang it around my neck.
I was charging my phone in the tent. So I walked out to the campsite, sat down, was eating dinner, talking to everybody, having a good old time. And it started to get dark. And I was like, well, boys, I'm going to head back to the tent. Dude, it was everything I could do not to trip over every root and rock and everything on the way, because I couldn't see squats. So somebody had to actually, who wasn't a dunce like me, put their headlamp on and walked with me back to my tent.
It's embarrassing.
I felt so dumb. And, as soon as I got into the tent, I'm charging it, you know, charging the headlamp.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's also the danger of the rechargeable headlamps.
Yeah.
Because the ones that use batteries can last, like, something like 30-something hours.
Yes. You know? It's ridiculously long.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's the chance you take when you're doing rechargeable versus a battery one. And if you know your headlamp, most headlamps have a lock that you can put on them. You know, pushing the button a certain way so that it doesn't do that.
Yeah, so I was kicking myself because I got out there And that feature is on my headlamp. But yeah, unfortunately for me, I did not utilize that feature. Sometimes you're too smart for your own good.
I know. You're like, I'm never going to do that.
No. And so
then you do it.
Here's the other thing. If you're just going on an overnight, sometimes, you know, I only have a few things that use a micro USB cord. So sometimes on an overnight, you're like, I'm not really gonna need that. So
I don't need to charge my headlamp. I'm just using it tonight.
Yeah, why would I? I'm gonna be back home. Like, I'm gonna be gone for what, 15 hours? I'm going out there for an evening.
Right.
It's all fine. We'll head back in the morning. Yeah, I ended up having to borrow Jason's cord.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I left it at home, bro.
That's awesome.
I'm always learning. Okay, you ready for another one?
Yeah, I've actually got one for you.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Because we were talking about hot weather, and it just came, it was something I thought about. It's a lot of people in hot weather, especially if they're not from down around here, they go out and it's going to be like it is right now, where it's 95 degrees during the day, and it's only going to get down to 75 overnight. Don't bring a puffy jacket. Don't bring a bunch of clothing that you need for cold weather, because when you're hiking in hot weather, every step is more difficult. Heat is oppressive. You know, heat is so oppressive. And that's why for me in the summertime, I started doing the tent, because it's just lighter. You know, I have the Durston X-Mid Pro 2, which is a Dyneema tent, weighs all of 19 ounces. So I've got, the summertime, I'm actually ultra light. Like, literally, my base weight's, I think, 8-point-something pounds in the summertime, because every step on a hill in the summer is way more oppressive than it is in the wintertime or in the spring or the fall. It's so, don't bring things you don't need. Like, it's amazing. Like, bring a raincoat, it's fine, but you don't need to bring, a puffy and a fleece and a knit hat, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't need gloves. You don't need hot hands.
Yeah, you just don't need those things. It's different maybe if you're going to be in the Smoky Mountains, where you're going up however many thousands of feet and it's going to be colder up there. But if you're in places where it's just not going to be cold at night at all, it's not even be cool at night, save yourself the trouble.
Dude, I looked at the weather and I thought that it wasn't going to be, I was like, this is going to be very mild. So I decided I was going to hammock camp, and I brought my 40-degree under. And I was like, man, I'm going to sweat to death in here. It's summertime. And I brought a really, really light top quilt. And I brought a liner just in case. I was like, I might not need this quilt. I might just do the liner. Dude, it got down to 58 or 62.
Where was this?
This was when we were at the lake. I don't know if it's just because...
Oh, you're not right by the lake. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe the lake is just cooling everything down. And, you know, we took the kayaks out and it was dark. You know, we were checking out the moon, checking out the stars and everything. And I was cold. You know, my shorts were wet. We went back to the fire. I dried off, changed clothes. And I crawled in that hammock and I was like, thank God I actually brought an underquilt. Because I thought about just, you know... I was like, if it's going to be, 78 degrees tonight, I'm not going to need an underquilt. Besides, mosquitoes, they can bite through your hammock.
So did your weather forecast tell you it was going to be 78 degrees?
Oh, I don't know. This is a few weeks ago. I say I checked it. I might not even check it. If we're being honest, I might have just been like, dude, it's August. What am I doing? It's August.
Yeah, we actually just had the coolest first 2 weeks of August.
Isn't that weird?
That we've had in years. And then this week, it's going to be 100 degrees this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I'm definitely not heading out in this hot weather.
Yeah, it's probably good to check the weather forecast. That probably helps.
Yeah, maybe do that.
Never assume the weather. But, of course, if you're doing more than one night, you may want to bring that puffy jacket. I'm just talking the overnight quick trip. You know, there's no sense in bringing a bunch of extra stuff for that. So...
I think
it is going to be hot. Look, I'm going to tell you these temperatures this week.
Yeah.
94, 95, 99, 91. And then it drops down to happy temperatures, like 83 and 84.
I like that. I like the happy temperatures.
I like happy temperatures.
Dude, I like the hot.
We're getting really close to really happy temperatures soon.
I like the hot, too, though. Like, over the weekend, our friends, they, a few weeks ago, had bought a boat.
And oh, wow.
Let me tell you about this real quick, actually.
Is this a backpacking mistake that you had with getting on a boat?
No, the next one I want to give you is a gear mistake. This is an expensive one, too. That's my little teaser. All right. Okay. You know how, like, you're listening to a radio show or something, and they're like, and after we get back, we got a gear mistake that is going to cost you more money than any other mistake after these messages.
So this is your commercial break.
This is a little story break, just because it's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want. So our friends got the boat, right? And we had to cancel last weekend because it was absolutely pouring the rain. It was supposed to rain for like an hour, and then it rained just cats and dogs all afternoon. So you miss the hot part of the day. You want to take the boat out, and you can't. So then they're like, okay, well, if you can come next Saturday, we're going to do it again. All right, I get to the ramp, and they're always hassling me about being late. So I got there. I was still late, all right, but I was only like 17 minutes late. Like, we're all meeting at noon. All right, noon on a Saturday, I think I can do it.
17 minutes is kind of early for you, actually.
Oh, well, it depends on the circumstance. I like to be fashionably late. You know, you never want to show up too early to, you know, get together. It's a little bit weird. Sitting there's only three other people. You're just waiting on everybody to trickle in. The host is still getting stuff ready. You're like, what am I doing? So I'm only 17 minutes late, and I beat them there, all right? Because my buddy said, hey, we left our car at the church. We drove, you know, we drove two different vehicles, left one. Can you stop by there and see if the car's unlocked because the life jackets are in there? We have some other life jackets. They're not the nice ones, but they'll get the job done. Because you have to have one life jacket for every person that you take on the boat, according to the state law.
Right. Right.
So we stopped by the church, and the car's locked. I text him, and then we drive on to the boat ramp. Well, they have the key to the car, so they actually had to drive over, which made us earlier than them. We're actually the first ones there. So we park, and this is the first time that we've all launched this boat together, okay? So they took it out. They took it out like a few days after they bought it just to test it out and make sure, you know, we want this, blah, 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 blah. So I think the boat runs. I'm going to show up. So they say, who knows how to drive a boat? Okay. There's two people.
Wait, it's their boat, and they don't know how to drive a
boat?
Well,
there's two people. My buddy says that, you know how they put those stickers on, like, new driver cars? Like, I'm a student driver. Watch out, basically. Or, like, if you're in England, they have, like, the learner's permit in the window or whatever, the license plate. Who knows how to drive a boat? Well, there's two people that know how to drive the boat. One is the person that bought it, and the other is me.
Okay.
Now, next question. Who knows how to back the boat into the water? And there's only two people that can back the boat into the water, and it's the same two people. Because ever since I started fishing, you know, and had a driver's license, your job is to back the boat into the water. You know, your uncle dad or whoever's like, I'll line it up for you, back it in, I'll get it. You park, and then you can
unhook everything.
Yeah.
I'll get it in the water. Yeah.
We'll be good to go. So I've been through it multiple times. We live by the lake. So I say, one of us is going to have to drive this boat, and the other's going to have to back the trailer. You know, my buddy's like, well, who wants to do what? And he says he's not super good at backing trailers. That's explicitly why he picked the boat ramp that he did, because it's like four or five lanes wide. He's like, we're sitting there for 10 minutes. I'm trying to jiggle around with stuff and figure this out and unload it. I don't want to feel pressured because there's
other people have a chance to get their boats out still.
Yeah, you'll get 12 people at the top of the ramp waiting to launch, and then you're down there and they're looking at you. So I say, I'll back the boat in. Everybody just hop in the boat. So they get in the boat. We take it from the parking lot down to the boat ramp. I circle us around, back it into the water. Everything's fine. Everybody's in the boat. My buddy has the key in, turns it. Click, 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 click.
Is there any fuel?
There's no battery juice.
The battery's dead.
The battery is dead. So I put the emergency brake on in the truck, right? Put it in park, put the e-brake on, get out, walk back there. And I'm like, guys, what's going on? You know? And they're like, the battery's dead, but it's okay. We have this portable charger to juice up the battery. So we sit there for like 5 minutes. They're juicing up the battery. Finally get it started. I get back in the truck after we get the boat launched, drive it back up, come back down. We go out and we have our boat day, and everybody wants to stop and swim, right? So we've tubed, we've water skied. We want to stop and just chill, maybe have a couple drinks, a snack, and hop in and swim.
So did the battery die again?
Well, I'm like, hold on a second before you turn this boat off, you know, because at this point, it's, you know, if you drive 20 minutes away from the ramp, that's a pretty good drive back, you know?
Yeah, and I'm guessing they don't have any long, like, Viking oars or anything for you guys to row back with.
Well, as soon as, it's funny you say that, because as soon as they said the battery's dead, I said, hold on, before we get this boat running, do you all have an oar, at least one oar in this boat? Right. So at the very least, we can paddle over to another boat and get a tow. Because if you're just sitting there, people just assume that you're just swimming, and then you're stuck trying to wave people down or calling somebody and see if they can drive over and tug you in. So there was an oar down with the cheap orange life jackets that they had purchased, and we stopped. Everybody's ready to swim, and I say, I want everybody to cross their fingers, because once we turn this boat off, there's no going back.
Got to hope it comes back on.
Yes. So we jump in, we swim, we get back on the boat after a while. Success. The boat starts back up. We're able to drive back.
Man, that's good. That's good, because it didn't sound like it was going to be that way.
Well, to new boaters, there's only one thing harder than launching the boat, and it's getting the boat out of the water.
Back on the pier.
Now, it took a few tries. We had to adjust how much of the trailer was sticking out of the water, how much was in the water, where to park the truck, etc. But the boat might have come back on crooked the first try. We might have had to push it back out. And ordinarily, you'd hit the trailer, and then you would give the boat a little bit of throttle to push it up so that whenever you ratchet it down, it's already in position.
Right.
That is not what occurred. He just parked the boat on the trailer, and he's like, hook it up and ratchet it in.
Wanted to pull it up.
Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing because there's like a boat on each side of you, and these people are acting as professionals, you know. These boats, you have a boat 8 times the size of the one that we're on, and they have no issues launching it, and they have no issues taking it out of the water. I got to tell you, man, it was a total experience, but we all survived. And
please tell me you videoed that.
No, I didn't video any of it. That's funny.
Oh, missed opportunity right there, man. Total missed opportunity.
I think I was telling this whole story because of being early or being late. And we had a little bet because they all wanted to go get food after we got done on the boat. And we did. We went to Buffalo Wings and Rings.
I love that place.
Yeah. It's great. Their chicken, they give you more wings than B-dubs, which is fantastic.
And you get to choose so many more options.
Yeah, it's a good establishment, good plug for them. Check out Buffalo Wings and Rings if you haven't. You can get you some wings and rings.
And if you're from corporate for Buffalo Wings and Rings, we'd love to do a sponsorship.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'd love to get in on some free wings.
That would be awesome.
As we're leaving, my buddy's like, hey, dude, 6 o'clock, right? We're meeting at 6 o'clock at Wings and Rings. And I'm like, yes, I'll be there before 6. And he's like, there is not a chance you'll be there before 6. Okay. I was like, all right. All right, let's make a bet on it. Let's make a bet. He says, okay, let's make a bet. I say, all right, what do you want to bet? He's like, you decide. And I was like, how about you had to buy the other person's food? And I was like, I think that'd make a good bet. He's like, all right. And then right as I'm about to get in my truck, I look at my clock. and it says like 4:45. And I say, that's not long. I still got to go home and change clothes and then drive there. So I say, how about just a beer? You know, if I don't make it there before 6, then I have to buy you a beer or vice versa. He says, all right, I'll agree to that. Dude, we're about to leave the house, and it is 5:48. And I'm like, 12 minutes. I think I can drive there in 12 minutes. I check it. I say, hey, Siri, give me directions to – oh, she actually picked up. I ask her to give me directions to Buffalo Wings and Rings. She says it's a 15-minute drive. I say, no! I got 12 minutes. But apparently it's totally wrong because I checked Google, and it was like, it's a 9-minute drive. Well, long story short on this part, we pulled in the parking lot at 5:59, walked in the restaurant at 6, and decided to call it a tie because we had not decided if you had to be there before 6.
Before 6
or at after 6. 6. Yeah, or after. So neither of us had to buy anything for the other person. Good day. It was a great day.
But you also didn't make people wait.
I did not. Actually, we had to wait on the – there was one other couple that were coming, but they're actually camping, so their campground was like 30 minutes away. So by the time – we got a couple apps, you know, a couple drinks and waited on them. But, yeah, hadn't told you about that, so I guess a good story to tell on here, maybe.
That's good. Now tell me about some mistakes here, man.
All right.
Give me a good mistake.
All right. I have a good one for you. The most expensive mistake that you can make, in my opinion, other than maybe accidentally burning your gear, like Mr. Backpacking with Jason said, is whenever you get home, not letting your gear dry before you store it. And
yes,
this is one thing that I think is disgusting. Yes. Some people, they'll stick their stuff, like even I'll bring a plate with me. Right. Sometimes, sometimes paper plate, sometimes reusable. Some people stick those dirty dishes back in their stuff. And I think that's absolutely disgusting. But it could be like you washed your stuff, you like your cookware, you know, your plate, all that kind of stuff. And then before it's dried, you put it back in its gear storage.
Yeah.
But the more expensive one is your underquilt or your top quilt or your tent. Yeah.
I think the tent is the most expensive one. And I'm guilty of this one.
Uh-oh, so tell me about
when
it.
You said it, I went, oh, man.
What happened with your tent, dude?
So it was, it's my family tent that's the issue. I took my kids out camping at a friend's farm. And it's this massive tent. It's like 6 foot something. You could stand up inside of it. That's how tall it is.
Oh, big boy.
It is a massive tent. And so I took it out there, and the humidity was just awful. And we woke up the next morning. It looked like it rained on the tent, but there was no rain. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we had to get going that morning. And it's a huge – I mean, when I say it's massive, it's massive. And so we needed to get going that morning. And so I grabbed it real quick, shoved it into there. I was like, I got to make sure when I get home, I let this sit out so it can dry out. 4 months later. Did you catch that?
Four months later.
I pull out this awful smelling tent when I'm at a campsite, realizing I never dried this tent out. And the tent's not in the best shape anymore. And it's... it does not smell good, and there's black mold parts inside. I mean, just the whole thing's gross now, and I'm actually actively shopping for another family tent because this one's just, it's torched. You know what I mean? Like, it's frustrating that I let it get to that. It was one of those things of, you know, you're with your kids, and you're trying to make sure everything gets done, and you get home, and then all of a sudden you've got stuff that you have to do that day, and then I just completely forgot about the tent.
Oh, forgot and not neglected.
Oh, completely forgot it. Just completely forgot. And, yeah, so long story short, man, don't do that to your tents because it really screws them up. And
yeah, maybe like time to retire that.
The taped areas, because of what I did, actually dried out, like because of the way the moisture works.
Mm-hmm.
So it messed up the tape on the inside of it. So all the taped areas, the tape has come loose, and It's just a big mess. Now it's just a glorified, nasty, smelly palace to hang out in when you know it's not going to rain.
Oh, yeah. Retire that bad boy. The big tents, though, man, they're so expensive. It's hard to swallow the cost of replacing those. Because we bought one, and I had a gift card for an online site. And I was like, I'm going to cash this in and get this big, big one. So we can use it, you know, for a family tent, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, though,
I love the tent. It's just, it's ruined because of the very thing you just said. And you can't leave, you know, I guess it was the Outdoor Vitals, what is the 40th, two-person tent. I left that one for a few days one time by accident. And I pulled it out and set it up in my front yard to let it dry out. Uh-huh. And because it's a sil poly, I guess, a sil poly or sil nylon, whichever one it is.
Yeah.
When I first set it up, it looked like there were whelps in the fabric.
What's that mean, whelps?
You ever get hit somewhere and you get a bump on your leg?
Oh, I thought those were called welts with a T. Is it with a P?
Whatever, welts, whelps. I mean, it just depends on what part of the country you're from.
Welches.
But, I mean, you know, we're not going to put on airs for people outside of the South. You don't know what that means.
But, go ahead. Sorry to out you on that.
Yeah, there you go. So, but there was these little bumps that were formed from the water that had gotten that was on the tent where it had soaked into the fabric.
No way.
Now, luckily, you just leave it out in the sun and those things disappear and they're fine.
Oh, okay.
But if I'd have left it for much longer, I could have potentially done permanent damage to my tent. So, you just got to be really careful with water, man. You gotta make sure you take care of your gear.
Yeah, and you know what I do for any – I do it for most of my containers, actually, but especially the ones that something could have moisture. Like, I keep all of my bladders and filters and stuff in one container together. One thing you can do is, like, drill holes in the top of the container lid or in the sides, you know, depending on what kind of container you have. And those little packets that come in everything that's shipped. Hopefully this isn't
– packs.
Yeah, the silica packets. Hopefully this isn't slowly poisoning me because I'm putting them everywhere in all this gear and I'm using the gear. So if I end up with cancer, I have to sue the silica packet companies, which I'd probably lose because it's it's my own fault for putting them everywhere. But
it's my fault, but I'm suing them.
Well, hopefully I can get them some way. But yeah, dude, you can put those, like if you save them. You know, you get stuff from Amazon or whatever. You can save those and throw those in your gear storage, you know, however you store your gear.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do
so
one?
What's next, man?
You want to do
what's our next failure?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you want to do one more. We'll wrap this sucker up. I got this gnat, dude. It's been bothering me the whole show. Keeps flying around. I Googled what causes a bunch of gnats, and it said, dude. What? I have been overrun with gnats. I've been overrun with gnats here at the house. We had it treated, and I have these gnats. I don't know. I was like Googling, is there a big wave of gnats coming through? Or is like, is it the time of year? Or, you know, what is the deal? And it said humidity. It said, it said moisture and humidity. And it'll drive them into your house. And so here we are. So anyway, it's been aggravating me. Man, I got so many. I'm going to pick one for you. I think I'm going to go with I'm deciding, dude. I thought about doing a poop one. Thought about doing a poop one because we talk about poop on here.
Well, now you don't have to because you've already talked about it.
Yeah,
all
Bob.
Secure, 6 to 7.
I talked about it by proxy. Okay, right. I'll do a little poop one. All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna string a couple together dealing with poop. All right.
Okay.
First one is not digging a cat hole. Right. We talked about that a lot. You even live on the air decided to buy yourself a brand new spade so you can dig your cat holes. But I also wanted to, there it is, the packed, you got it packed together. I also wanted to mention about the location of your pooping. Okay.
Okay.
If I remember right, Mr. Andrew Skirka brought this one up last time we had him on, and it is the appropriate location for your poop. It has to be away from water sources. What do they say, yes. 200 feet? Is it 100 yes. feet, 200 feet?
I think it's 200 feet.
200 feet, bury your poop. Has to be away from the water source.
Yeah.
And do you remember what happened with his situation?
It depends on which situation you're talking about. Are we talking about the one with the grizzly bear?
No, that is that was a wild one too, but no, I was talking about where he set his tent up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
You remember? Okay, I'll let you tell everybody real quick what happened with Mr. Skirka.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to poop, it should be in a cat hole and buried. And it should never be in a campsite. Like in the campsite. And Jeremiah, I'm actually going to tell you when it happened to me at the Red River Gorge. I had a campsite planned out for me and some friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, you know, literally it was just it's right next to a parking lot because we were going to get up the next day and actually backpack, and we were just going to get there late. You know, we got there super late. It was dark, but there's a campsite right behind this parking lot that rarely anybody uses.
Yeah.
So it's like, we could go to that campsite and just camp out and we'll be fine. I'll set my hammock up in this one spot. There's this, these two trees. It's a great spot to do a hammock camp. So we get in there, and right between the two trees, someone has dropped a deuce and left all the toilet paper sitting there.
Did they at least put the toilet paper on top of the poop?
It was next to it.
Next to it, well.
But it was a pile of it, and it was like out in the open. It wasn't even – I've never been so disappointed in my entire life because it's the perfect spot for a hammock. It's the perfect distance between the trees. The land below it is completely devoid of any vegetation, and it's – I mean, we're talking – it's the perfect hammock spot. And I couldn't, there was no way. I'm not going to sleep over top of poop all night.
Let me
so
ask.
So I ended up having to go find another spot. We actually went to a different campsite because it was so gross. None of us wanted to be around it because it's not a huge campsite. But I'm like so thinking gross. To myself, who literally walks into a campsite, drops trowel, and leaves it right there?
Somebody with a bathroom emergency. But you'd think that you would at least dig a hole and then scrape it in there.
You would think you wouldn't do it in open ground on the campsite. Like you would walk off the campsite at least 15 feet or so. You know what I mean? Where people aren't just going to see. I mean, there's a trail that goes right through there. It's like, who the heck does this? So now, there it is.
There's billions of people on this earth. And I got to tell
billions
you.
Billions of people don't hike.
With billions of people, you're going to have some dummies. It's terrible.
It's terrible. Come on, people. It's feces. It's gross.
I got two things to say here on this.
Okay, I
got to
hear okay. them. Number one.
What's going on, hikers?
That was not it. That was my voice, but that wasn't me. That was past Jeremiah. Number one, how magnificent, or is there a campsite you can imagine that is so magnificent that you are willing in these tight quarters to take care of this deuce? How magnificent does that campsite have to be?
Wait, what do you mean?
Meaning there's poop there, but you need the spot. And the only way to get the spot is to move the poop. You're either going to bury it yourself or dispose of it.
I'm not touching someone else's.
No, you don't have to.
Like, it's not happening.
Hold on a second now. You do not have to touch it.
I'm not moving someone else's stuff, no.
How? So you're saying there is not a camp spot that is so magnificent that you would be willing to dispose of this fecal matter?
No.
You're declaring that right now.
Yeah, I am. That's gross. I think there's levels of gross, and then there's that. That's just what I can't do it. What about you? Is there one that's so magnificent you're willing to do it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's as big of a deal as you think.
Moving someone else's Bodily waste.
Well, it's not like I want to do it.
Here's a wild card for you.
Okay, here we go now. Here we go.
Something that looks solid isn't necessarily solid.
That is true. That is true.
So you could think, oh, I just got to, you know, grab a, you know, a Ziploc bag or something, just scoop it like a doggy thing. Well, what happens if you do that and it just squishes and it goes all over the place?
Well, all right. Now you're throwing
a loop. There's a wild card I don't want to deal with, and that's my wild card, and I just can't do it, man.
I don't know why.
By the way, I apologize to everybody that we're even talking about this right now.
Why does your brain go to Ziploc bag scooping poop like picking up dog poop?
Well, what are you going to do, man? How are you going to move it?
I was only going to move it like a foot, less than a foot.
But what if you can't move it less than a foot and still be able to use the campsite?
Well, it's going to be circumstantial, and that's true. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, there's absolutely campsites I'm not going to go at if I have to move someone else's fecal matter.
Okay, let's imagine for a second that we're in a world with the best campsite, okay?
Okay.
You want this campsite. You want it so bad.
Okay, here's a question. Are you with me?
Hold on now.
Now answer the question. Are you with me on this campsite? Are we together going to this campsite?
We're not going to hold hands and move this poop.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. You just got to answer the question. Are we both going to be there?
We can both be there if you want.
Okay, good. I'll let you have that part of the campsite. I'll have the other part of the campsite. Everything's good. I'm down. Let's go.
Okay, here's what I was thinking. You're
buddy.
Oh, that's funny. I like the drop. I like the image there.
I had to do it. I had to cut you out completely there for a second.
Here's where my brain went. I didn't go to scoop the poop. I went with... Some of these sites have a broken shovel around, and I'm going to dig me a little hole next to the poop. And I'm going to, you never been on the AT? See, you're giving me questionable looks. You never been on the AT? And
you're throwing a lot of like variables into this that you can't guarantee.
Well, I made up
like,
the whole.
If you were to look at me and go, hey, if there was a small like shovel nearby and you could dig that up. Carry it off your campsite and bury it off the campsite? Well, yeah, I'll do that.
But all right, touche.
I'm being realistic here.
Touche.
That's not happening.
Realistically, I'm carrying a small shovel, and it's called the Deuce of Spades.
I'm just taking you out right now.
No, I can't even do this. Okay, let me. I'll finish with this. All right, we'll throw the second thing away. I'll finish with this.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Using whatever method that you want, trekking pole, deuce of spade, a random shovel that was left because you're in the poop area on the AT near a shelter, but there's no privy, whatever circumstances, a stick.
Yes.
Hopefully the soil is loose enough to dig. Otherwise, this is null and void. I'm going to dig a hole close to the poop, and then I'm going to rake that poop in there and probably some of the dirt that was just under the poop. Hopefully it was a solid poop. And then I can cover it back up, and we can forget about it. But if it's semi-solid, this method should still work. If it's not, if it's just kind of liquidy, well, I think you're – I know it's disgusting. I think you're going to have to
– I might have thrown up in my mouth just a touch right there. That might have just happened.
I say kind of dig around, and then turn that soil over. You're okay. I don't know, man. I'm not saying I'll put my tent on top of it.
I'm just saying there's a lot of variables there. And I would say on the whole,
yes,
I'm probably not taking that campsite.
No, but you know,
on the whole.
But it could be a magnificent campsite.
It could be a magnificent campsite, but you know what? There's a lot of magnificent campsites in this world.
That's true. Find another one. Okay, I'm done.
I might go find another one, but that's just me. I mean, all I'm going to say is...
You got one life. Live it.
That's it. You know? In the words of Jason Wall, you got one life. Live it.
That's right.
So Jeremiah, it was awesome talking with you today about just the most uncomfortable campsite in the history of mankind.
Yeah, hopefully some people had a laugh. Hopefully our stories were entertaining. And if they weren't, people can join us on the live streams.
Yes.
What's the date that starts?
Well, our first live stream of the year, or I should say of the new season, which is season number 6, begins September 11th. And that is going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is, what would that be, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we have a couple amazing guests for the very first episode back.
Oh, we got a couple lined up already.
Oh, we do. We have the Gear Bros.
Oh, you want to?
You know. I know. The Gear Bros.
I know who they are. Do you want to tell anybody who they are yet?
That would be Justin Hick of Justin Outdoors and Sir Steven of My Life Outdoors. We got two all-star guys coming on, and I call them the Gear Bros because, man, those guys have been doing a lot of videos together this year, and they're always entertaining, they're always informative, and they're just better looking than we are. So it's going to be a good night of chatting it up with those guys.
I'm excited, man. Let's do it.
And there may be a theme song.
Oh, I've heard rumors.
There might be a theme song for the Gear Bros. I'm just saying. I can't guarantee it. Don't hold me to it, but there could be a theme song that night. So that's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Backpacking Podcast on YouTube. That is going to be our first live stream of the fall. We can't wait for you guys to be there.
Yes, and we'll put out the audio version as well across all platforms. So don't worry, if you're not able to catch it on YouTube, the content will continue to come.
Absolutely. And so for myself and Jeremiah Stringer, we will catch you on the next one.
Adios, folks.